thank the Lord for another opportunity. And we have to look in the Word. Sister sang the song about stretching out upon His Word. I'm thankful for the Word of God. It means everything to me. Thankful that I have a Bible. I've got several Bibles. But I'm thankful for the Bible to be able to read daily. My daily bread. And I may be getting up in years a little bit, but I sure have a long way to go to knowing everything. Don't suppose I ever will know everything. But I want to know what the Lord wants me to know. I want to try to understand it. Desire your prayers. The Lord will bless this little portion of His Word this morning. I have a thought, kind of maybe a strange little title, but I've named this, or I'm calling this, and I want to talk about spiritual amnesia. Y'all know what amnesia is? Forgot. We forget. I was thinking about, my mind went back many years ago when wife and I were young and our children were little. There were many times that I would take one or two of them for a ride. We'd go to the store. And once they got in the car and I was a captive, they started asking the questions. Why? Why? 4 or 5 years old. And I was so glad to get home by the end of the trip, you know. Why is that man over there doing that? Just tell them why. And then they say, why again? Then they look at see something else. And why is that, you know, why is that happening like this? Why is that over there? Why? And I tell you, those whys just, I remember the days. They just wore me out. And then about 12 years later, they didn't ask why anymore. Seemed like they knew it all. They knew everything. They didn't have to ask why. As a matter of fact, I told one of my children when he was about 16 years old, I said, it's time for you to leave home. They said, I'm too young. And I said, well, you know it all. You need to learn, leave while you know it all so you can make your way through life. But I want to ask us this morning, why do we do the things that we do? Why do we believe what we believe? There's a reason for it. I don't want us to forget why we enjoy what we enjoy this morning. Why we enjoy the blessings of salvation. There was a great price paid for it. This nation talks about the men and the women that died on our battlefields for the freedom that we enjoy here in our nation today, the freedom of religion, the freedom to move about and go where we want to go and do what we want to do. And I thank the Lord for that. But folks, there was a price paid for the freedom that we have in our souls today. The freedom that we have in our spirit, a great price paid for that. So there's a why and there's a wherefore of why we are enjoying what the blessings that we're enjoying today. So I want to start what I feel is kind of the beginning of things. I want to look in the 4th chapter of the book of John. In the beginning of this chapter, it says that Jesus left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. You know, I don't know of a better example for us, because he's the one that this is all founded on and built upon, this rock, Jesus Christ. So his example to us was that as he was going about his travels, it says he needed to go through Samaria. He knew there was some people there that had an open mind and an open heart to be receptive to the gospel of salvation. And in the 28th verse, you want to pick up the reading because we pretty much know what this chapter brings forth. But Jesus had just finished delivering a message to this woman, a salvation message. He had told her who he was and who God was and that we worship him in spirit and truth. He was teaching. He was giving her the whys of what life is really all about. What's it really all about? And on the 28th verse, it says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat. We refer to this a lot, I know. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto the life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. I want us to notice here that Jesus stayed right on task of his purpose for coming into this world. He spent every moment, every workable moment of his life to reach out to souls and try to present the gospel message through his teachings, through his miracles, through his humility, through his love, that he ministered to people of all kinds. And he was faithful to stay on task. This scripture kind of rings a chord in my heart. He said something about, he said, it's true, one soweth and another reapeth, and I sent you to reap wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. I remember one time many years ago, wife and I went to Akron on a Sunday morning. I believe Brother Carl Schaefer had been holding a meeting there. And on Sunday morning, I found out when we were there that I found out later there hadn't been a whole lot of altar work. But he preached a message on it's better not to vow than to make a vow and not pay it. And it was quite a message. It was quite a thought that he brought forth. And I want to tell you, we had an altar service that just went on and on and on and on. And I was reminded by one of the ministers said, Brother, he said, you've been privileged to come in and reap without bestowing any labor because the labor has been going all week. And now you're enjoying the reaping and the blessings of what God has done. It's wonderful, isn't it? To know that God will use who he can. He will use who he will. And if we just stay in our place. Now, I wasn't running the meeting. So, you know, I wasn't meant to be there that week. But the Lord labored through Brother Carl. Brother Carl's labors and the word of God began to build up and build up and build up to the point where conviction began to build. See? And on Sunday when I got there, well, I was able to just go right in there and enjoy the fruits of his labors. Be able to pray with those that were at the altar, and we just had a real special and a blessed service. But I'm thankful this morning that Jesus was the example. And he said, I have meat to eat. I got something to eat. You don't understand what it is. The disciples were, didn't have the spiritual understanding at the time. But he says, I know I've got something. My meat is to do the will of the Father. And I pray this morning that that will be all of our desire, to always do the will of the Father. Sometimes, and we get it in our minds, and I know we do because of our humanity, we get it in our minds, well, you know, I'm limited in what I can do. I'm limited in how far I can go. Lord hasn't called me to go over the seas. He hasn't called me to a pulpit ministry. He hasn't called me to this and called me to that. Folks, He's called us all to be saints. He called us all to be faithful at what He has given us to do. And if He's saved you and called you, folks, every one of you have a gift. And He wants you to manifest that gift. He wants you to always lift Him up and exalt Him. I can't get that thought out of my mind about our purpose of being here, of exalting a Lord and a Savior, the one that came to the world and died for us. It's all about Him. When I'm in my sicknesses, when I'm in my afflictions, when I'm going through my trials, it's so easy for me and my humanity to look at the situation and feel like, well, Lord, woe is me. You see my troubles. You see my sorrows. I was telling my wife about the request that came in this morning. She said they aren't having a start of a very good year. Well, they're not. They got their problems. They got their issues. But folks, if that's the way that God chooses for them and or you and I to glorify Him, praise the Lord. We know why that God brings us through places. He wants you and I to grow spiritually. He wants you and I to get strong, and He wants us to be faithful at what He's bringing us through. Faithful to stay in that place, to be pliable, to be humble, to learn the lessons that He has for us, that we can grow and develop and become mature and be vessels unto honor to Him. That's what life is all about for us. Folks, when we get over there to the other side, what's it going to be all about? It's going to be praising God, glorifying God, lifting Him up, exalting Him, thanking Him for our great salvation, for redemption through the blood of His Son. It's going to be praising God throughout eternity. Let's get used to it now. Let's praise God now. Let's lift God up now. Let's exalt Him now. But it's so easy for our humanity to get in the way. The Lord's burden was always for fallen man. I want to try to tie in another scripture with this. It's found in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. You all probably know it well. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, Paul said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal." Folks, there's some depth. There's some growth. There's some sincerity of heart and mind and spirit that has to work in each and every one of us. We've got to destroy this carnal man. We're going to be in this flesh the rest of our life. But folks, we've got to learn to keep this carnal man under and not let this carnal man be the one that rules and guides us. Paul is telling them here, I wanted to preach to you meat. I wanted to give you something strong, but you're still carnal. And the only thing you can handle is the milk, is the simple things. You can't get down to the deep, to the depths that I would like to be able to bring you to. Folks, God is calling you and I as His children, as His people, to get down to the depths, to overcome this carnality of spirit, this thing that causes us to act out in a fleshly way. Lord wants us to get victory over these things because He wants to feed us with some meat. But He went on down to say, he said, verse 4, He said, while one saith, I'm a Paul, and another, I'm Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but it was God that gave the increase. Folks, our humanity gets in our way so many times. Our humanity is what causes us to struggle. I pray God that He will help us, that we'll be strong in His grace, that we'll be able to be like Paul and keep this body under, die daily, fight to this thing that wants to have preference one to another. This thing, folks, the ministers are servants. They're the ones that bring the gospel. They're the ones that carry a burden for your souls. But folks, it's God that giveth the increase. This is His design. This is His purpose. Jesus said, I got meat to eat that you don't know anything about. Folks, I want to tell you today, we have come a long way in this great salvation that Jesus has given us. Most of us have come a long way in our understanding and our spiritual development. But what my burden is this morning is I don't want us to forget how we got here, why we got here, what was involved in getting us to where we are today. Don't want us to forget those things. Because I believe that it's just as important to praise God and bless God as it is to take our burdens to God. I believe it's just as important to praise Him. When we take our burdens to Him and He hears and answers our prayer, it's just as important for me to go back and get in my little place and say, God, I thank You for hearing and answering prayer. I worship You and I honor You because I really know that it could never happen without You. It can never happen without You. If we got to learn, folks, to exalt God, because it's really all about Him, isn't it? He exists, folks, for you and I to lift up and for you and I to exalt. That's why He exists today. He said here, I planted and Apollos watered. That's wonderful. You know, it's wonderful to see people grow. It's wonderful to see God blessing. And God has chosen through the propitiation of men and women to preach the gospel, to bring forth the word. But folks, it's God that gives the increase. It's God that works in your heart. It's God that works in your mind. It's Him that brings you the understanding and brings you to the level that you desire to be and that He desires for you to be. Paul said, I wanted to give you meat, but I couldn't do it because you were still striving, he said. He said, whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, and you walk as men. Lord, help us today. As we heard in the Sunday school lesson, to behave like men. Behave like men. Maturity. And praise and bless God. I want to bless God today. I want to praise Him. Praise Him and honor Him. Why? The whys. Let me ask you this question. Why do we always seek the things that will benefit our well-being? Don't say you don't, because we all seek the things that benefit our well-being. We want everything to be just right. We want everybody to do just what we want them to do. Why do we seek them? Because we're men. Because of this humanity that we're in. But we need a different mindset. We need the focus that Jesus had. My meat is to do the will of the Father that sent me. Folks, your meat today, your food today, your daily food is the Word of God, and it's to do His will and allow Him to work His purpose in everything that you do in your life. That's really what we are. We're ambassadors for Him, aren't we? We're to lift Him up. We're men. Perhaps you probably all heard this fable, but it kind of fits here, about the big old elephant that was walking across an old rickety bridge. The old elephant walked across that bridge, And that bridge was shaking up and down and creaking and moaning. And the old elephant got to the other side. When he got to the other side, said there was a little flea in his ear. And the flea said to him, when they got over there, he said, boy, we really shook that bridge, didn't we? We really shook that bridge. Folks, if we're not careful, we can think we're somebody. We can think we're something. We really shook that bridge. Brother Carl, and he didn't, bless his heart. But whenever he had labored all week long and they got up to that Sunday service and I was permitted to reap the benefits of all of his labors, folks, he could say, boy, I've really shook this congregation. Boy, I've really preached the word here. No. No. God did. It's God that gave the increase. It's God that gave the blessings, folks. The elephant did all the work. God does all the work. You and I've got to open up and be receptacles. A receptacle. A vessel that he can pour in his spirit, pour in his love, pour in his understanding, pour in his wisdom. We don't have it all, folks. But yet we continue to seek for it every day. We continue to seek for it every day. Boy, we really shook that bridge, didn't we? That's the way people get. That's the way people get. Boy, I really done something. Aren't I really something? I've had people down through the years after messages from time to time that God had blessed me with. They'd come up to me and say, Brother Abbott, I don't want you to get the big head, but I tell you, that really blessed me. Well, if it did, it wasn't me. We know it wasn't me. It was God that blessed. And that's who I want to give all the glory and all the honor to. Because he's the one that blesses us, folks. You know, here's how people are, and I'm talking about amnesia. They'll beg God. They get in a low place in life. Maybe you know some. They get in a low place in life. Maybe they get in trouble. Maybe they find themselves in jail. Maybe they don't have a job. Maybe they aren't able to provide good means. And they're begging God for this. And they're begging God for that. And they want God to help them to be able to make ends meet. And God comes along and he gives them a job. God comes along and he blesses them with food. He blesses them with clothes. He blesses them with a good house. He blesses them with a nice car. And it isn't very long that people are down on their knees asking God for anything. We seem to forget. We seem to forget what we came from. See, this is to humanity, the humans this morning, and we're all human. We forget too easily sometimes. And God blesses us. Now I don't have to go to church all the time. I don't have to worship him like I once did. Because I don't need anything. I got a little jingle in my pocket now. I got a little money in the bank. I don't need God now. Or I'm out of prison and God got me out of prison. I don't need him now. I'm free. Isn't that the way people are? Sure it is. Sure it is. That's the way people are. We tend to forget what God has done. And I beg you today, please don't forget what God has done. Not just for you personally, but we're going to go into what he did to bring to you and I the joys and the blessings of this great salvation. Got to read it today. Nothing else, I want to read it for your encouragement. I want you to receive the blessings that I've received. And I hope I get more. His purpose for your success is to make him known. Not to forget about him. Not to drop it. You've heard me say it before. And you know, in 2001 when the towers fell, the people with statistics said this country, there were more people going to church for the next 3 months than had been going for years. And after 3 months, It was all back to normal, they said. Don't need God now. Lost the fear that they had. Don't need him now. Everything's going fine. Got the jingle in my pocket. God's blessed me now, and I got a car, maybe two cars in the garage. And I don't need him now. They're not attacking us today, and we don't know of any terrible destruction that's gone on in New York City or California or Chicago and one of them big cities. So we don't need God now. We're going to stand on our own, and we're going to make the decisions. We're going to stand on our own wisdom and our own judgment, and we're going to make the paths. And I read very plainly in the Word of God, it isn't in man that walketh to direct his steps. We need God every day, folks. Not just when the towers fall. Not just when I'm destitute and in need, but I need him every day. I need him every day of my life. Yes. Don't forget that. Don't ever forget it. Young children that are here today, don't ever forget. Even in your youth, you need God. You need him every day. You need him, his protection. You need his mercy. You need his love. You need his grace. And he gives life and breath. To all men, to all women. Oh, folks, I'm thankful today for what God has done for us. And I don't want us to get spiritual amnesia. I don't want us to forget. Because those things cause us to become complacent. They take the luster off of your relationship with God, if I can say it that way. It takes the luster away. It doesn't shine like it once did. It doesn't bring the warmth that it once did down in your bosom. You don't have the desire that you once did when you get careless with what God has done for you and what God has given you. Let's look at another scripture found in Luke. Got some scriptures today. Not a whole lot maybe, but I got some. 21st chapter of Luke. I want to see what Jesus said here. Luke 21 verse 7. Is that right? Yes. They asked him saying, Master, but when shall these things be? What sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Boy, we always want to know that. Y'all, you want to know what tomorrow holds? Sure. We all want to know what's going to happen. We know God's going to bring the world to judgment. Lord, how are you going to do it? Tell us how you're going to do it. Jesus said he didn't even know the day nor the hour. But God's going to do it. So they said, what's the signs? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. And time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. The time's drawn near. I'm the Christ. Someone sent me a text this week. With a what do you call them? Something from the internet. With a thing from the internet. And you know what it was about?
Attachment.
Huh?
Attachment.
You know what it was about? Folks, these things grieve me. It was an article that the Pope, oh, the time's come now. The Pope has just declared himself as God. He's just declared himself as God. Folks, I don't care about all that. That's nonsense. They wanted me to go to that thing, site, and they wanted me to read it, and I just deleted the whole thing. I don't care about those things. I'm here to glorify God, and God has all that stuff in his hands. It's too big for me. It's too big for you to to worry your little minds about what the Pope's going to do or anybody else. We're here to glorify God. That's the most important thing I can do, is glorify God. He said that they say, I'm Christ and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Website is what I was trying to get and couldn't get it. You're going to hear all kinds of things, aren't you? Maybe you're going to see some things too. But Jesus went on to say, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. Folks, that's just a commotion. Some people go to bed at night and worry about what the Pope's going to do. They worry about this and they worry about that. What good is that going to do them? I want to remember where I came from and how I got to where I am today. And it came through the blood and the sacrifice of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't care about anything else that's going on in our world. So he went on to say, when you hear wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. I want to skip on down. Well, no, let me read it. And he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be given, be in divers places. Just had an 8.0 earthquake in part of the world. Famines, pestilence, fearful sights, great signs shall there be from him. All that's to terrify you. It's also a sign that we're coming down to the end of time, isn't it? But here's the verse that I want to get to. Before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers. Why? For my name's sake. For my name's sake. You're going to face these things because of my name. We're going to name the name of Jesus today. No matter what we have to face, no matter what we have to go through, get it settled in your hearts. No matter what they say, no matter what they try to force us to accept in our society and in our world today, get it settled in your hearts. I stand where I stand, not for my sake, but for Jesus' sake, for his sake. That's why I stand where I stand today. For his name's sake, he says we do this. We do all that we do, the Bible, Paul says, for the glory of God and for the sake of his son. Now, get into the real good part, what I feel like is of the message. I want to turn and I want us to see, I want us to remember. I want you to forget why his sake is so important. Why his name is so important. We're just men, folks. You and I could go out and do the greatest deed that people think can be done. We're still just men after we've done all that we can do. We're unprofitable servants. But Jesus was exalted and lifted up by God the Father himself. Let's look at the scripture found in Philippians, the second chapter, third verse. You've heard it many times. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Folks, that little verse right there is disturbing to me today. I'm seeing things on the horizon that really disturb me. People getting exalted and lifted it up and think that they've done something, that they're somebody, or the church can't go on without them, or the world can't do this, can't function without them. Folks, Lord, help us today. That we stay humble and realize where we came from and who we are, and that we're just men born of the blood of Jesus. Esteem each other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, took on him, now listen to the scriptures, took upon him the form of a servant, and made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also, now here's what God's done because of that. God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. God exalted his son. He looked down upon him when he was walking among the people and he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus was faithful to all the way to the death of the cross, folks. He laid down his life right there to his enemies and turned his body over to them and let them do what they wanted to do. He humbled himself to the death of the cross and God exalted him. And he's exalted in my heart today. He's exalted today, folks. We need to lift him up and praise him and honor him because God did. Lord, help us. Gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, folks, for my name's sake, he said, God has highly exalted him to a place of honor, a place of being of honor and might, that people may someday submit to him. A universal submission and a universal confession. You know, we can, if we're not careful, we can get narrow-sighted here, near-sighted. Folks, we can sit around and preach to each other until the Lord comes. But this isn't just for us. It's for all humanity. It's for all lost souls. I have meat to eat that you know not of. It's for every soul. I come to seek and to save all those that are lost. But he raised him to a place of honor and glory that someday people would submit in a universal, all over the world, people will be saved. I believe there'll be some saved all over the world. I believe there'll be some submit and confess that he is the Christ. I hope so. I hope and pray that there will be. They may not know our standards. They may not know the things that we was talking about this morning in Sunday school. That doesn't have really anything to do with our salvation. If they don't know it, the Lord doesn't require it of them. But he does require them to confess. He does require them to submit. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That includes the heretic, doesn't it? That includes the agnostic, doesn't it? No, I don't believe there's a God. They will someday. They'll believe there's a God, folks. But Jesus, God honored his son, Jesus, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's people today that may acknowledge him as just a man. But in the future, everyone will acknowledge him to be Lord. That is God. Everyone will honor him. Jesus, in going to that cross, and it looked like to many that the enemy had won the battle, but Jesus, in humbling himself and going to that cross, glorified and honored his Father. That's what God wanted him to do. And Jesus glorified and honored his Father. And sometimes we go through some little trial and little test, and I say, Lord, help me. And I want to get out of it so bad and it hurts so bad. I was awake in the middle of the night for quite some time. My right leg last night was aching like a toothache. And I'm up praying and saying, Lord, help me. And he did. And he did. And he took it all away. And then I thanked the Lord for it. Thank you, God, for what you do for me. Thank you. I want to acknowledge him now. He's the ruler. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of my heart. And it doesn't matter what the Pope does. It doesn't matter what the Jewish nation does. It doesn't matter what the Hindus or any of the other people out there, the Muslims, it doesn't matter. He is Lord of my heart and of my life. I don't want to ever forget that. That's why I exist today. That's why I'm here today. That's why he blesses me today. He is Lord. And he wants me to praise and honor him. Look at a scripture in the 5th chapter of Revelation. And in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. I saw a strong angel. The intensity, the importance of the moment. A strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Folks, that was a very important question. Who's worthy? And we know who was worthy, don't we? And we know why he was worthy. No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Folks, we must be so careful that we don't get used by the enemy like Moses did. Moses in the Old Testament was a type of Christ, and he led God's people out of bondage. And he led them to the promised land, but not into the promised land, all because the devil took advantage of him and he got exalted and he got lifted up, and God was grieved with that. No man, folks, no mere man. There is no other man that's going to do any great things that God is going to exalt, because he exalted one, and that was his son, Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter what all these other people do. It doesn't matter. God is Lord and he's King. No man in heaven or in earth or under the earth, not even the angels, folks, no men or the angels had the authority to break the seal of this scroll. No man had that authority. And he said, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. He prevailed. When he went to that cross and he laid down on that thing, and they put the nails in his hands, and eventually the crown of thorns on his head, the spear in his side, the blood, the fountain that was opened in the side of David that day, the fountain for you and I. It says, weep not, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. No man was found worthy. But Christ here is presented as both the Lion and the Savior. He came forth with authority. He was from the line of the tribe of Judah, but he's also portrayed here as a redeemer, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He was worthy. Why was he worthy? Because he humbled himself unto death. Lord, help you and I. I believe that's the crowning glory of being successful for the Lord today, is for you and I to stay as humble as we possibly can before God. And allow him to do his work in our heart and life. He humbled himself, folks, and God exalted him. His lion nature and his redeemer portrayal here portrays his work as Savior and Sovereign. He is Savior and he is Sovereign. Don't ever forget why you enjoy the blessings you enjoy today. Don't ever forget where God brought you from. Don't ever forget where God brought you through. That's how we go from faith to faith. Those hard and difficult places that we had 5 and 10 and 15 years ago or last year or whenever it was, folks, is to bring you and I to a maturity of today. That we can bring this old flesh under and we can recognize and realize there is a kinsman redeemer in Jesus Christ. And he paid the price. What a price it was. But the scripture tells us in Ephesians 5 and 1 that it was unto God as a sweet smelling savor. What kind of a God looks down upon his son, folks? See him suffer the way that he suffered, and it was a sweet smelling savor. It's a God of love. A God that loves mankind. He loves us all. He how did Paul say that? Even when we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He loved me when I wasn't saved, and he loves me now that I'm saved. I want to love him more. I want to please him more. I want to serve him better, folks. No man was able, not even the angels, but Christ has been given by the Father. Now he's taken this thing. He's taken this scroll. Who has the right to judge the world? Who has the right? That's what was in these scrolls, folks. That's what was in these books. The judgments of God. Who has the right to reveal what was hidden in the scroll and to execute what was written in the scrolls? Who has the right to judge the world? He's coming back as a judge, a righteous judge, to judge each and every one of us. He came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. When he had taken the book, the four beasts, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign. After we die? No, he didn't say that. He said we shall reign on the earth. We're reigning today, folks, because of the blood of Jesus. The sacrifice. God exalted him. Wasn't it Peter or James? One of them said that he that humbleth himself, God will exalt you. If we humble ourselves, he will exalt you. That's what he did for him. He humbled himself. His submission to the death of the cross is the reason why that he was the only one worthy to open the book. He's the only one worthy, folks, that we have to praise today. He's our intercessor. Mary's not sitting there beside him, helping him make intercession, folks. He is our intercessor. He is our go-between, him and the Father. He is the one that lived here. He is the one that suffered. He is the one that went through the sorrows and the griefs. And he is the one that understands you. Just how you're wired, just how you're made up, just what you're going through. He understands your sorrows. He understands your disappointments. So I want to say to us this morning, praise, praise, praise. Praise Almighty God. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget what he's done for our eternal hope and for our existence. My hope is in him today. I thank God today for this wonderful plan of salvation. I don't want to forget it. Sometimes we need to read some of these scriptures and others to refresh us, to remind us. Do you feel blessed today? Why? Why? Started out with the whys. Why do you feel blessed? Folks, this is why you feel blessed. It isn't anything you've done, but it's the price of the Son of God paid for you and I, that we can enjoy this blessed thing, salvation. I appreciate God's love and his goodness to us today. I thank him for saving my soul. I thank him for his mercy. Loves us, the scripture says, with an everlasting love. Shouldn't we praise him? Shouldn't we exalt him? Shouldn't we honor him today? Why do we come to church? Well, we want to learn. We come to worship with one another, be with one another, but we come to praise God. We come to lift him up with our voices and our hearts, to praise him and honor him. Don't let this, what you have today, ever become commonplace. Don't let it become commonplace. If you get to a place or a point in your life where you feel drained, and I think most of you know what I mean. When you feel so drained and so tired, maybe burn out, don't have any more to give, don't feel that desire and that drive that you once did, folks, refresh your minds of what Jesus did for you. Refresh your minds. And realize the value and the importance of all these things. There ain't nothing on this earth as important as Jesus Christ giving his life and shedding his blood for mankind. It's the greatest event that ever happened on earth, that he put forth this plan of salvation for us. Yes, it's wonderful. I'm glad he rose again. That's important too. But folks, he had to give his life first. He had to humble himself first. Why? So he would be worthy to open the books. So he would be worthy. He's the only one, folks, that can bring forth judgment in righteousness. May the Lord help every one of us today to be encouraged. Don't develop spiritual amnesia. Always remember. Keep looking back. Keep reading your Bibles. Don't just keep trying to find out what I can do to get over my difficulties and my battles and my trials. Yes, we need to learn how to do that. But every once in a while, go back and remind yourself of what Jesus did for us. He fought a battle you and I couldn't fight. He won a victory that you and I could never win. Amen.